In a different book, I finished the letters to the congregations in Revelation, and it's been a couple months, 6 weeks, 2 months, something along that line, and I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? And I noticed that the prior, probably the last, oh, say 3 to 6 months, just about everybody who called me about anything, I kept going either to scriptures in this book or to ideas in the book. And I said, Lord, why do I keep... I just realized I'm in James all the time. So I said, Lord, that's what you're trying to tell me. And praise the Lord. So let's open up to the book of James. We're going to start right at the top. Chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. This particular section of James, verse 1 through verse 12, it's the topic it's talking about. It's broken down into different topics. This first topic, really, it talks about the purpose of tests in our life. There's actually a purpose. Hallelujah. Things don't just happen randomly. The Lord uses things in our life to help us grow, to help us change for a whole list of reasons. But let's get started here. James chapter 1. James, Yaakov, a servant of Adonai and the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, shalom. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, diverse tests. Count it all joy. We were at the conference, and one of the rabbis leading everything, one evening he lost his notebook that had all of his everything in it. And he got up the next morning, and the first thing he said, anybody, did anybody find a such and such folder? And one of the other rabbis said, oh yeah, it's right here. You left it and I took it. And the relief that was on his face. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In other words, still be happy when you have a problem. So what is he saying here? Is he saying to be happy when you go through problems? Nah. I don't know anyone who's going through problems that they're happy. I don't think that's the instruction here. So he's not saying to be happy, but on the other hand, he's telling you don't let it destroy you either. So somewhere between you being happy and being totally destroyed is where he wants you to be, closer to the be happy side. And we're going to get into the how to be happy going through this, going through a test, a trial, a season. We're going to talk about that. The whole book of Yaakov, there's a theme behind it. And this is a big part of it. There's an idea that we'll get to later on in different chapters that says, you know, what about me? Why are you putting me through this, Lord? Why am I having to go through it? There's even a section where you get the idea that someone's asking the Lord, you know, me? Why would I have to go through that? I'm better than everyone else. Surely I'm the king. I shouldn't have to go through what a peasant goes through. There's an idea of where pride gets into it that he deals with too. But he also deals with the other end, which is, woe is me, I'm just a worm. And neither of those extremes are right. And I thank God that they're not. Hallelujah. As I was going through this is the one thing, one of the major themes that the Lord always deal with me about. And I have written right here, we should expect when we're doing the work of the Lord to come against opposition. We should expect it. If you came in here tonight and you were doing the will of the Lord and coming against opposition and you didn't expect it because you didn't know, well, you won't leave here tonight the same way, because you're going to leave here tonight knowing, oh, okay, I need to expect it. Be prepared for it. It comes at you for a reason, to knock you down, to shake you up, to destroy you, from stopping you from delivering the message or living the life that the Lord would call you to live. And it's painful. It's very painful. Did I say it's painful? It's very painful at times. You know, you can kind of get this idea with a lot of things in life that you either expect things to be a certain way, and if it doesn't happen like that, you look at it and say, well, you know, that's not it. Surely there's no flowers sitting right there in that vase, because I expected to see all roses, so that can't be flowers sitting there. But then you're confronted with the reality of reality, and you have two choices, to either ignore it or accept it. And that's a lot of what he's talking about in here. So we're going to keep on going through here. Go to the book of Acts. This isn't in my slides, but you guys have your Bibles with you. Go to Acts chapter 5, verses 34. We're going to read about coming against opposition. Book of Acts, chapter 5, but we're going to start at 29. Then Kepha, Peter, and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." What's going on prior to this is that they're standing before the council. They've been dragged in because they're out proclaiming Yeshua on the streets and wherever they go. They've been dragged in by the rulers, and the rulers are basically saying to them not to speak in that name. So that's where they find themselves. So they answer. Kepha says, and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Verse 32, "And we are his witness to these things. And so as also the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach Elohim, who God sent," or let's see, "whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. Verse 34, "Then stood up in the council a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." Or he said, hang on a sec, guys, let them sit for a minute. He settled the whole thing down that was going on, all the fervor to kill the Lord's anointed and to stop them from proclaiming Yeshua. Dragged him in off the streets into the council. Verse 35, "And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves to. He was slain. And as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to nothing." Verse 37, "After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed and scattered." Verse 38, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught," come to nothing. Wow. "But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it. You can't stop it." Here's the key point. "Lest ye be found even to fight against Adonai." You come up against something you don't agree with or understand, and you come against the people that the Lord is using, be wise. Be very wise. Because if the Lord sent them and you come against them, who are you coming against? Coming against God. If the Lord sends you somewhere in his name to do his work, you know, I mentioned back there the saying, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And yes, that's directly linked to Yeshua. However, if the Lord tells you to go do something and you go in his name to do something, there's a blessing attached for you and the person or people who he sent you to. Hallelujah. Don't come against it. Don't come against the blessing of the Lord coming to you. To tie this back into the book of Yaakov, especially when you're going through a test, especially when you're going through a trial. There's a story, if I remember it right, and I'll kind of paraphrase it, but there's like a man and he's trapped on his roof and there's a flood. And this is very paraphrasing it. You guys have probably heard this, but the nutshell version is that first came like a boat. Oh, no, I don't need your help. Then another boat. Then multiple boats. And he doesn't get in and receive the help that was there. But he says something to the Lord along the line of, Lord, save me. And the Lord says to him, I've been trying to. You keep sending them all away. Don't get caught thinking that those flowers right there are roses when they're not. Look at what the Lord is doing and what he's sending you and accept it. It's so easy. So easy. For 25 years, since I've been involved in a congregation serving in all kinds of different, I knew the Lord called me up here, but I never in a million years knew how, when, where. I just knew it was coming, not sure when or how, but to keep doing what I was doing. And I can tell you, it doesn't look like anything like I thought it would. It doesn't feel like anything that I thought it, well, it does feel like how I thought it should, how it should feel. But it doesn't, I could draw a whole picture of what I thought it would look like, and it doesn't. You can think about all the things that the Lord has told you to do, and in your mind you have this idea, I'm going to go talk to Sister Susie at the water cooler this Monday morning. I'm finally going to let her know about Yeshua. And then she's going to, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach is going to come upon her. You're going to see a light from heaven in here. Ha! And she's going to miraculously receive the Lord. And Monday comes around and you roll into work. There's Susie. Had a bad weekend. In a bad mood. And it's your time. You've got your Bible in hand. And you're going to talk to her at the water cooler. No one is around. It's perfect. And she just flat out just rebukes you. Wants nothing to do with you. Well, what do? You continue to do what the Lord told you to do in spite of the tests, in spite of the trials, and this particular case, in spite of this idea that you have in your mind about what something is supposed to look like. And I encourage you to do whatever, take whatever step is in front of you right now. Take that step because you don't know what's down the road. And I love that about the Lord is that he will give you a step to take and he'll wait on you. And if you don't take that step, trust me, don't go to him and say, oh, well, what's going on, Lord? How come you haven't done this, that, and the other? When he's told you 20 years ago to take that one step and you won't do it. Sometimes you take, this is in my notes too, sometimes you take steps and you feel like you're halfway up the staircase to where you think you want to go. And you start looking back and looking down. Lord wants you to look forward and look up and take that next step. And if you're stopped, guess where you're stopped at? In the middle of the staircase. So not only can't you do anything you were doing before that may have been really good, but you never get to where the Lord has called you to go to. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about the Lord. You know, the Lord, he sees us. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. He may see you right in the middle of that step. And he does. He's not looking at you ready to whack you over the head with something. He's looking at you saying, come on. Come on. Come on. It reminds me of that movie. You guys ever see Rudy? So Rudy, you know, he's pretending that he goes to this college because he wants to play football. He ends up on the team, and he wants to play. And he goes through the whole movie with no opportunities. Trying. At the end of the movie, he finally gets his chance to play. And the people are chanting, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. And that's how the Lord is. He's chanting our name, encouraging us to move forward and continue. And you know what's interesting is that when you get to that place where you've never been before, and the Spirit blesses you to continue on and blesses you where you are, you'll be amazed at how you say, Lord, I've got to rely on you even more because guess what? I've never been here before. And it'll be a testimony of your faith and of if the Lord really called you or not to do what you say you're going to do. If you can't take the next step in faith that he's told you to take because you're so used to in the natural dealing with everything that you just, that's the only way you know how to operate. Not a good thing. And all of us are somewhere. You know, I look back here and I see brother so-and-so or such-and-such on that step. And I look up here and I see another one in this step. We're all going up the steps. And we all need to say, go, 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 continue, continue, continue. The farther each of us reaches up to what the Lord calls us to do, it blesses everyone. Amen. Everyone in the body is important. Everyone needs to take the step that the Lord has called them to take. And the rest of us need to pray and be in agreement for that person to see it through, to find and fulfill what the Lord told them to do in its full manifestation of it. All of us are ambassadors to other people, in particular to Israel. If you have a heart to see the Jewish people receive the Lord, but you only have a heart to send an offering to some ministry that's in Jerusalem, and that's it, and there we go, you'll miss out. When the Lord will send someone to you, just would you be surprised how many different ways he'll do it. And while they're Jewish and they're standing in front of me and I have an opportunity to present the good news to them, and there you are on that step, will you open your mouth and say, trust the Lord? You know, he says that when you're basically paraphrasing again, when you're doing his work, he's commanding you to do something. When it's time for you to speak, he'll give you the words to speak, and he'll speak through you. So verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when, this is Gamaliel, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Yeshua, and they let them go. Verse 41, and then they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced. Notice in verse 36 and 37 regarding Theudas and Judas, these men both died. What they were teaching ended and the people were simply dispersed and scattered. No mention of their followers being accused, being arrested, being beaten, or being killed. Why? Because they weren't proclaiming the truth. They weren't proclaiming Yeshua. I haven't looked them up to see exactly what they're proclaiming. I'm sure you can get online and see. It's probably some weird off the wall, like many other things that are being proclaimed in the name of the Lord nowadays. When you're promoting salvation by any other means than Yeshua, you are deceived and working for the enemy. And I know this is going out via live stream. And there's people out there who are doing this. I'm just telling you, you're deceived and you're working for the enemy. Simple as that. Turn to Yeshua. Hallelujah. So if you're working for the enemy, why would he oppose you? Why would he use other people who don't know Yeshua to come against you? He doesn't. He focuses his attacks and the use of his demonic influence to use and manipulate those who reject Yeshua. They're the ones who come against you, and he'll come against you. If you're standing up for Yeshua, proclaiming the Besorah, the good news of salvation through Yeshua, you will certainly come against opposition, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Not a real happy thing, but a reality. Hallelujah. So what does he say? Back to what he says in verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials. So even after Gamaliel's wisdom and advice were heeded by the council, the disciples still got beaten. They didn't get killed, they got beaten. They got beaten on their way out. But notice, even after they got beaten, what did they do? It says they rejoiced. Did they rejoice because they got beaten? No. They rejoiced in the Lord. that they were still able to go and proclaim his name, still able to do the things that he called them to do. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Do you think they felt the hurt of the beating? Yeah. But they rejoiced. Do you think they felt the pain? But they rejoiced. Did they maybe want to quit? Possibly. But they still rejoiced. Did they ask God, why did you select me to do this? Couldn't you have called somebody else instead of me? I think I may have thought that. But what did they do? They rejoiced. Why did they rejoice? Back to verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced because the Lord said, you know what? I can use you. That the Lord chose them and they responded to the call to be used, and they were. Hallelujah. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer, to be beaten, and to suffer shame for the name of Yeshua. Let's continue on in verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I want to camp out here. All of these verses are built one on top of another. And you just see more and more and more of the purpose of tests. We need to be patient with ourselves. You know, it's easy to forgive someone else. But the hardest person in the world is to just forgive yourself. Lack of forgiveness for yourself will keep you stuck right in the middle of the staircase. It'll keep you in a position or a place where you think you're not worthy to be used. And so what do? You freeze and you just stop in place. What do they think about me? What are they going to say about me? What are they going to do to me? Freeze you right in place. Anybody ever been there? The human condition. It's all about me. And that, you know, it's just natural to feel that way. Unless you intentionally stop feeling that way. And intentionally notice you're feeling that way and you're acting on that and you intentionally stop. Intentionally turn to the Lord. Intentionally ask him to come in and help you get through that. Intentionally take that next step. Even though you might be on that step, and you're looking at it, and you're scared, and you're shaking, and you're doing like this, but you take the step. And then you get here, and you deal with whatever it is you have to deal with on that step. But it's so awesome, because the Lord is, if he told you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And, you know, people will say concerning fear and courage, they tend to mix these up. But courage is the willingness and the act of actually taking a step when you are afraid. That's courageous. Courage isn't just doing something because you feel like, you know, you feel like Goliath against an ant. No. Courage is being the ant going against Goliath, shaking, but doing it anyway. Hallelujah. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He wants you to continue to move forward. Total shalom in every area in him. If you don't have total shalom in an area, well, there you go. It's like that's the red flag of where you need to focus some things. Because you know, it'll rob you of the other areas in your life that you do have shalom, do have peace, you do have fullness, victory. It'll suck you dry like a little hole in a tire. Will ruin the whole rest of the tire. Verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want to pick this verse apart a little bit. If you need wisdom about something, talk to God about it. Ask him about it. One of the many topics that really spoke to me during the conference was about time with the Lord. I just want to talk to you about this. This is connected. You can't ask Adonai anything if you're not spending, if you're not there to, with him to talk to him. And so the importance of spending time with him, this particular rabbi who was speaking, he was really emphasizing, you know, specific times and this, that, and great, wonderful, I believe that. And however, there's a scripture, I don't have it here, you can look it up. It says, pray without ceasing. So that's not really talking about a specific time, other than it's talking about the time you're awake, because you can't pray while you're asleep, obviously. So wherever you are, wherever you can do, you can always ratchet it up more to pray to the Lord. And if you need wisdom, ask of the Lord. It says there, that giveth to all men liberally. That's probably one of the only times that liberal is used in the word in a positive way. Oh, praise the Lord. So God is a liberal, according to this. Praise the Lord. But he giveth to all men liberally, not stingily. But you know what? You're known by your generosity. You're known by your stinginess. Or maybe you're just in the middle, you're just, you know. But you're known by this. Certainly you want to be known as stingy. It's a blessing to be known as generous. Thank you. That's a blessing. You know, be humble about it. You know, nobody needs to know all your generosities. But the Lord gives liberally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me keep going. My time is... Will anybody here give me 5 minutes? Raise your hand if you will. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 50. Hey, I've got an hour or two left. All right. Buckle in, guys. Hallelujah. And I like this word here. That God will give all men liberally and upbraideth not. Some of these words you can read and gloss over and have no idea what they mean until you look them up and really see. The word upbraideth, this is the definition of it. To criticize severely, to find fault with, to reproach severely. The Lord doesn't do any of that. He does a total opposite. He finds no fault. He doesn't deal with us harshly. He deals with us generously, lovingly, helpfully, forgivingly. But in our mind, too often we've been programmed about the big bad God up there who's just ready to thumb you like a poor little ant. And that mentality and that teaching and that way of thinking is just prevalent all over it. If you don't intentionally turn from it, that's how you can easily see the Lord. If you've had a good or wonderful relationship with your father, you may see the Lord in those terms. If your father wasn't around, you may see the Lord as an absentee dad. If your father wasn't good to you, you can see the Lord like that too. And none of those things are right. The Lord stands alone, singular, in this. He's the example and the standard for all of this. And it says here that he giveth wisdom to all men liberally who ask. He doesn't criticize. He doesn't find fault with them when they're asking, why they're asking, or because of them asking. He gives liberally and lovingly. Hallelujah. So we read that to you again. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Adonai that give to all men liberally without criticizing you or finding fault with you, and he shall give it to you or shall be given him. If you need wisdom about something, ask of the Lord in faith, and guess what? Say it. And he'll give it to you. So the question is, if you lack wisdom and need something, have you asked? So your assignment this week, this is actually halfway through what I have for this particular sermon, but your assignment is to ask the Lord about the things you need wisdom on. And expect him to do it. He's a good dad. How many of you know he's a good dad? Praise your Lord. He'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.